Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, as we settle from the activities of the day and the busyness of the moment, may we just quiet down and seek you. And we thank you that you are always present and always exhorting us to come boldly to the throne of grace. And so, Lord, it is so easy to get caught up in all the busyness and really just kind of skim over all of the really important things, such as time alone with you and just seeking you. And Lord, help us this morning as we look at just a great section of Scripture. I always say that, I guess, but it always seems like where we are, it's the best. And so lead us and guide us as we are in Ephesians 1 today. And help us to recognize, Lord, that the riches that you have given every believer are over the top. It is so unbelievable what riches you have given us, and yet so many of us live like beggars, Lord. We hang our heads with all the troubles and difficulties and, oh, woe is me. But that's not you, Lord. You have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, Lord. So help us to recognize a little bit more clearly with thanksgiving what you have done for us from the foundation of the world, Lord. Lead us and guide us now in this time of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, turn to Ephesians chapter 1, if you will, and let's just begin by asking the Holy Spirit to fall afresh on us in song. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. I'll turn to Ephesians 1, if you would, and we're going to look at that great prayer of thanksgiving and the prayer for spiritual wisdom in verses 15 through 23. But I just want to read the first 14 verses as we get into this prayer for the context, and this is one of the most rich. It's only three sentences. Of course, one sentence is eight verses long, but just try to comprehend this list of gifts that we have been given by the Lord. And so, as we begin this letter to the Ephesians, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. That's the end of the first sentence.
That's one opening up.
Verse 11 and 12, second sentence, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purpose of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So that's the gift list, so to speak, that God has given you, that God has given me, that God has given every believer. Just an unbelievable list, unbelievable list. And then Paul goes on to pray for spiritual wisdom, and he's praying with thanksgiving because the first word in the next verse is therefore. Therefore, in light of all these gifts, I also, after I heard of two things, your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. And notice that for just a moment. Our faith is so important, but equally important here is our love for all the saints, because if we do not have love for one another, what faith do we really have? I mean, yes, there is a level of faith where I know I'm saved, but if I don't have his love and if I don't love one another, it's the faith in Christ and love for all the saints that prompts Paul to have this prayer of thanksgiving. So he says, I do not cease to give thanks. I looked up all of the Pauline epistles, and the word thanks or thanksgiving is given over 30 times. Paul had a lot of thanks in his prayers, and I would urge us to be praying prayers of thanksgiving, not just always prayers of asking help, help, help. We need to ask for help, no question about it. But when we think of all these gifts he has given us, how thankful are we? How thankful are we? So he is saying, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He's so overcome with joy, really, because they've received these gifts to a level anyway, but now he's going to pray for them to really receive them. Really, it's not praying for something they don't have, but it's to reveal to them what they do have and to pray that these gifts would be unwrapped, so to speak, and become very real to each. And I think that's, for all of us, a total great application in this prayer. So he's going to pray what? The first that what? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may do what? May give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I think when we have a personal knowledge of him, that's salvation generally. If we have a growing knowledge of him, I think that's sanctification. And I think if we have a perfect knowledge of him, that's glorification. And so the perfect knowledge of him will not be in this body. It'll be after we take our last breath and are in his presence forevermore. But he's praying that each of us, the believers, would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And then the next request is for enlightenment. The eyes of your understanding, or another translation could be the eyes of your heart or your seer, really. What in you really sees? Well, yeah, my eyes see physically, but really, what really sees? It's deep within, right? It's deep within us. It's deep within the heart, meaning not, again, this organ that's pumping away. Of course, that's important, but I'm talking about the innermost part of you. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what? There's three what's here. Number one, you may know what is the hope of his calling. Do you know what the hope of your calling is? What does that really mean? Does it mean, well, I'm called to do this or called to do that? Well, in a sense, but I don't think that's really what the total calling is here. You're called out of darkness into light. That's the calling that we're talking about here. that you may know what that is. What is your calling out of the darkness into life, light? I think it's probably the most encouraging thing that a believer has, to know that we've been called. And when did he call us? He called us before the foundation of the world. So you're a lot older than you think. I don't know how old that is, but that's old, right? And I think if he called us all at the same time, I guess he did, I don't know, before the foundation of the world, we're all really, really old, right?
Yes.
Not in these bodies, but that we may know the hope of his calling. And then the second thing, that we may know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What are the riches of his inheritance? What does his inheritance mean? It's capital H. Isn't that strange? It's not our inheritance, it's his inheritance. Did you know that the Lord looks to us with such a beautiful thing as his inheritance? And that we may know what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is. What is the glory of his inheritance in you? It's not based on your merits. We can be assured of that. It's based on what he's done for us. It's based on the investment that he's made in you and in me through his Son. Such an awesome, awesome thing, isn't it? But that we may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory in his inheritance in the saints or in the believers. We are so valuable in his sight, we can't even understand it. And when we see the senseless killing and the demeaning of life and the promoting of the creature, in some cases even above man, we have it so twisted, right? Of course, that's what it says in Romans 1, doesn't it? But what is the hope of his calling? What are the riches of his glory and the inheritance of the saints? And the third, what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Now, again, that's something I don't, you know, we can't know, the exceeding greatness of his power. That's beyond understanding. And yet, here's the prayer that we would know that. We would know the exceeding greatness of his power. Now, we had in 1 Peter, as we may have mentioned in this group, I don't know, but, you know, that we are saved by the power of God through faith to salvation, ready to be revealed in the end time. So his power is so awesome. And here it says that we may know with the exceeding greatness of his power toward us, not his power of creation and everything else, which is awesome as well, but just his power toward us who believe, his power toward believers, his top power toward you. Do you have any concept of the greatness of that power? Well, we pray for that, right? And Paul is praying for that for the believers. And since we're believers, the prayer would apply to us as well, it seems to me. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, in relationship to what? According to the working of his mighty power. So the power that he gives us, or that he extends to us, is just unbelievable, but we want to pray that we would have a better understanding of that. Because at times we feel so useless, so worthless, so meaningless, so nothingless, you know, like we're just, you know, a piece of protoplasm. What am I doing here? And nothing seems to be going right, and, you know, I don't have any value at all. Well, probably you're right, apart from him. But in him we have unbelievable value, unbelievable power, unbelievable riches. And then, where did they come from? Verse 20, which he worked in Christ. Now this is the power that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. The power of the resurrection. Can you even grasp what the power of that really is? It is so, I mean, we say, yeah, he rose from the dead 33 days. Everybody knows that, don't you? Well, if you think that through a little bit, the power of that is unbelievable. How many times have people been resurrected forever? Well, he was the first one. Now since then, he's the first fruit, so because of what he's done. But that's victory over sin, that's victory over death, which are the two biggies, right? Sin and death. Everyone suffers from and will experience sin and death. But we have victory, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and then he ascended into heaven. When he raised him from the dead and seated him, when do you sit down? When your work is done, right? Redemptive work is all done. Now, not his prayer. He's still living to make intercession for us. But his work for redemption is done. And so he sat down at the right hand in the heavenly places, not here on earth, but in heaven. And where? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. So don't worry too much about the Putins of the world or about the Caesars of the world or about anybody else of the world. They're just puppets to do whatever he would really will them to do. The pharaohs of the world who harden their hearts, he uses that right for his great glory, right? So he uses the awful as well as the great for his glory in a sense. But he's far above all that. He's far above all principality and might and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come for all times, for all times. And he put all things under his feet, all things. And he gave him to be head over all things to his bride, to the church. He is the one head over the bride of Christ. We need to remember that. And we can have a lot of fellowships and a lot of shepherds fighting and all this kind of thing, which just grieves him, but that's not the head of the church. The head of the church is Christ. Gave him to be head over all things to the church, what? Which is his body. We are his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Father, we thank you for the magnificent section here in Scripture, which is beyond what we can really grasp, really, fully, but we can grasp maybe more when we just say, Lord, reveal your truth to us. And we want to thank you for the blessings. We don't understand how awesome they really are, but we understand enough to know that they are really awesome. So we thank you for that. And here we are this morning, the opportunity to pray. And I pray you would lead us by your Spirit, Lord. We would have our eyes on you, Lord, so clearly this morning, not on ourselves. We are nothing without you, but with you and because of you, we are the richest of all things there are. We are the riches of your inheritance of us, Lord, because of what Christ has done, the power of the resurrection and the ascension. So as we pray this morning, I pray that we would pray including these ideas that we have here in Ephesians 1, because this is such an uplifting prayer. And we do want to pray for the nation. We do want to pray for the church. We do want to pray for all things that you put on our heart. But may we really be led in this little group here just by your Spirit, little short prayers. And otherwise, we will quench your power if we go on and on and on and on. And so, Lord, speaking to myself primarily. And so, Lord, help us now as we would respond to you in this time of prayer, Lord. May it be effective because of your leading us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray.